Happy Independence Day to those in the U.S. This is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com. In this fourth full day of magic, we start with Eric Jones, who tells us about his travel plans to China and Australia, plus some exciting new products that are coming to Murphy's Magic. Christian Painter tells us about creating and competing for the FISM North American Championships. And during the reception prior to the banquet, past national presidents and committee chairmen Mark Whitehouse and Vinnie Grasso talk about the convention registration and the contests. Chris Hannibal is up next, who competed in the close-up contest, which, by the way, was later announced that he was selected as a finalist in the contest. He tells us about his creative process in developing his act. Then, for something completely different, you can join us after dinner as Jessica Reed acts as the auctioneer for a photo of Joni Spina and David Copperfield, the proceeds of which went to help defray some of her medical expenses. Immediately following the auction, we hear the announcements of the winners for the Melbourne Christopher Award. And wrapping up the evening's podcast, we hear from Bill Gleason, a 9/11 first responder, who was responsible for the creation of the Patriotism and Patriot Award. It's another full podcast, chock full of some interesting stuff, all here on TheMagicWordPodcast.com.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis, meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lies.
Scott Wells from TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and it is, I think we're calling this day four on July 4th, and we just finished the close-up competition for the, I guess it's the FISM Championships then as well, for North American. And I've got Eric Jones to see. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So we were just talking about the, they had some pretty strong competition, don't you think, here today?
Yeah, they had a very good competition. 13 competitors from all over the country, and I got my favorites. I'm sure you have yours as well.
Yep. Some of them seem kind of obvious, I mean, with the standing ovations, but you know,
well, there were several standing ovations.
There were. There were several. So there's a lot to choose from. It's going to be kind of difficult, I think, to try to determine. But I mean, you're a close-up guy, and so you know you. So why weren't you competing? Have you thought about competing on a level like this?
Well, you know, I've considered it. I've been working on a couple of different acts, but ultimately, for me, it's about sharing with the lay public rather than, you know, performing for my fellow magicians to get accolades.
That's nice, so, but it's nice to be paid.
It is.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. What you're doing then now? What do you keep it up with? What's new? You said you're starting to shoot something.
I've got a bunch of things. Like right now, I'm going to be working in just a couple of hours, filming a few projects with the Fat Brothers. Well, two of the three. Christian wasn't able to hang out with us, but I'll be filming with both Danny D'Ortiz and Miguel Enelgea. Then tomorrow, I'll be judging the finals for the close-up.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the convention's over, I'll be leaving to do my one-man show in Melbourne, Australia for the Melbourne Festival of Magic. And then I leave there to perform in China for 7 days.
Is that part of the thing that Mike Miller's working
That's
with?
That's exactly what's going
okay.
on.
Okay. Yeah. Who are the other guys? Tell a little bit about that.
As far as the, what's going on in China?
Who's performing in China first?
As far as I know that Del Salwak is going to be on the same television show as me, and also Domenico Dante. We'll be talking about the history of magic, producing magic, and a few other
things. He's the president of FISM, by the way.
Yes, he is. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And then I'll be, like I said, performing and doing lectures in a few cities.
And in doing that, I assume that you're going to be having to have some interpreter, you know, to translate Chinese.
It's pretty much a last-minute trip for me, so I'm still gathering all of the details. But I know that the person who's doing my translation will also be driving me around the city. It's Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, Taipei, and Foshan are the five cities that I'll be in.
But at least you won't have to have people interpret when you go to Australia.
I better not.
Tell me about that one-man show. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't advertise it for magicians because it's a fairly standard show. I've got a few little things here and there that magicians might dig, but it's a show specifically for laymen. So, you know, I'll do things like my possible coins across, and I've got a cards across, rising card, a few other things, sponge balls.
It doesn't matter if it's going to be a classic as long as it's going to be, you know, have a presentation in a performance style, you know, that's uniquely yours and it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, how long of a show is this?
45 minutes. Okay. And so it's my short show. Pretty much working out of my pockets, you know, pretty bare set, me and a table, and a few spectators, a lot of audience participation, and a lot of fun. From what I understand, it's 250, seats 250. Okay. So it's pretty much double the parlor, and triple the parlor, and the Magic Castle.
Now, have you four-walled this, or someone bringing you in, or how's that working
out? I was working with Tim Ellis, and he was nice enough to ask me to come out, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be working alongside guys like J. Scott Berry will also be there. Dan Sperry will also be performing. Mm-hmm. My friend from Holland, Fritz Alcamade, he'll be performing his one-man show in close-up as well. And they've got a lot of great local talent that'll be filling the bill as well.
So that's going to be like not all in one show, I assume.
Oh, no. The festival is actually starting, from what I understand, it's going on now. Now until the 12th of July.
Which is their winter right now, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's my first time, in fact, to Australia. So I want to kick a kangaroo and pet a koala.
Kickaroo,
there you
That's
go.
That's right. You have to start to get the lingo down there, mate.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's a long way over and long way back. I'm going to get jet-lagged over there.
It's going to be 17 hours one way.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a couple of sleeping pills, have a drink. I probably shouldn't mix the two, but I'm going to.
This festival, what's the name of the festival? What's it called?
The Melbourne Magic Festival.
Melbourne. Now, that's another thing. You should learn this Melbourne.
Oh, it is Melbourne.
Yeah, you don't pronounce
right.
The R. It's Melbourne.
Yeah, that's how they'll know I'm not from the area.
I'm not from around these parts. Yeah, really.
So maybe I shouldn't get a translator.
That's right. Yeah, he's not from here. After that, still working with Penguin, you said?
No. I'm working
with Sir Murphy's.
I love Penguin, but yeah, I'm working with Murphy's.
Yep.
I just got a promotion from purchaser to I'm the project manager for new product development, working mm-hmm. closely with Jason Brumbelow. We both used to work mm-hmm. with The Illusionist.
Right.
And we're bringing in a lot of really exciting new products.
Like, for example?
I'll give you a great example. If you look on my Instagram, which is at Eric Jones Magic, scroll down maybe four or five lines, you'll see a video with a red background, and it's a video of me doing this incredible barehanded ring vanish.
I have seen that.
And it looks
amazing. It does look amazing.
And it looks just amazing
live. Fake photography, it's a real thing.
No, and it looks just as good live as it does on the video.
Yeah. And that's going to be released when? This fall?
It's going to be released in just a few weeks here.
Okay.
I'm working on the packaging as we speak so that it has a really nice special packaging. We're hoping it ends up being one of our black label items. And I'm anticipating probably August or September release.
Yeah, somebody had sent me a copy of a video or a look at that. I saw it. And I had watched it two or three times. Wait a minute. It has fooled me badly.
That's not even one of the best ones. It's just the first one I can get my hands on while we were going through the editing. And I just put my camera phone up to the screen while we were watching it. And it looked pretty good.
That's pretty cool. Well, so those kinds of things are going to be coming out and will be widely available then to your
favorite
magic dealer.
Magic dealer.
Yep, that's very good. Well, thank you very much, Eric.
Awesome. Thank you,
good
Scott.
Talking to you. Good luck. And got a lot of good stuff. You've been enjoying the convention body thing here. I mean, you're going
to
see all the new stuff.
I don't get to really buy a lot of magic because I kind of get it all for free.
Exactly.
But today I actually did buy a couple of things. I went over to the Be Happy, where they have the Happy Amp. And picked up the Q Control, which is something that I've wanted to get for my show for years.
Mm-hmm.
That way I don't have to worry about having someone to do my music for me.
Right.
So I picked that up. Also, there's a guy, I'm not sure where he's from, somewhere in Asia, but he has this really cool trick with a white ring and a red ribbon. It was on the cover of either Magic or Genie in May, and it has some of the most beautiful penetrations, links and unlinks that I've ever seen. It looks absolutely impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the best thing I've seen so far in the dealer's room. But I'll be heading back in just a little bit to see if I can spend a little bit more money.
Yeah. And the shows, have you enjoyed the shows? Like last evening was
the Magic of Germany. It's a lot different. You know, they have a very unique sense of comedy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily appeal to everyone, but I always enjoy it. I love watching Timo Mark and Gaston. You know, he's such a great character, a great actor. Mm-hmm. Sebastian, he's awesome. I love watching his. Like, he did a trick last night with just a chop cup, and he was able to take a standard chop cup routine, like the Don Allen chop cup routine, and turned it into a 10-minute showpiece.
On stage. Yeah.
For 2,500 people, and it was absolutely incredible. I love it. I really did.
Yeah. It was a good show. I think all the way around, we've had some really good shows. The contests have been really good, and then tonight we're going to be having the finalists. You say you're going to be judging tomorrow in the close-up.
I'll be judging close-up tomorrow for SAM.
I'm actually judging tonight for the stage,
IBM.
So I've already seen all of them, so it's different now to see, you know, the finalists, to see
exactly
who the preliminary judges have put forward, you know, to who we're going to be looking to see tonight. So anyhow, Eric, thanks very much, and good luck in all of your ventures. You got so much going on then right now. I'm glad to catch up with you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Eric Jones and Scotty out. Well, again, the close-up contests are over, and we're back at the hotel waiting soon for the cocktail reception before the evening dinner. And I'm here with one of the contributors to Real Magic magazine, and also to the MUM. And here we have Christian Painter. Hey, Christian.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. And also, not only all those things, but a competitor in yesterday's contest as well, amongst all
That's
the
right.
rest. Yep. And the only mentalist, pure mentalist, well, the other guy, it was one guy who did the
Magic Square.
The Magic Square.
That's
that
right.
was a different presentation,
yep,
I thought,
that's
for the
right.
square. I thought it was kind of neat turnaround, had the Titanic, you know, through the window
right,
pane.
Right,
kind of.
And then he did it three times in a row.
Yes.
Which was also, you know, with the same, you would have had to see this. It would be difficult to explain over a podcast. But yes, he had the same numbers.
Yeah.
And he just kept going on and putting them back. And yeah, so it was fun.
I like the concept of actually having a window pane or a glass. Like, okay, you had 16 pane glass, and then
right.
and then it explains, oh, yeah,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was. He did that in the SAM Commission in D.C.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did the competition there. And a lot of people enjoyed it because it was a whole fresh look at the Magic Square.
Yep, yeah. yep. It was. Now, the PEA was just this last week. You didn't attend that by chance, did
you? No, I can only, you know, I can only
globetrot
so much. Yeah.
John Stetson, I understand, just won the award. Was that the Dunninger Award, I think? I just saw that on Facebook.
I know that he won an award. I haven't been able to, like, update. I haven't even gone to the you know, the forums and all that.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. Man, you've really been focused on this contest, haven't you?
Well, yeah, because we had a lot of stuff going on just before this contest. And then, you know, it was literally like we were packing Sunday with no breaths, you know, because we worked Friday and Saturday night, then boom, pack and go. And yeah, so it's been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then you get here, you know, the first thing you do is you don't want to, like, get on your, you know, well, I'm here. Why am I going on forums? I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and there are a lot of guys, a lot of people who are here. I think I'd heard 1,300 was the total.
Yes, I think I've heard that too.
Yeah. 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 Now, have you competed actually in other other conventions, or just your first competition?
No. We competed a long time ago when we were just performing. We actually were talking to some friends of ours who said you should go to conventions. I said, well, if we go, then I wouldn't want to compete, so people know who we are, not just some. Well, I don't know who those people are. So we competed for about 3 years, and then we kind of, okay, we're done. People know who we are. We're done.
Right.
But this time, it was the whole FISM qualifier and all that, and we played around, and I said, well, we'll just play around with the idea of possibly getting a slot for FISM and mentalism,
yep.
and that was the concept.
I wish they would have different slots. In other words, that at FISM, they do have, of course, mentalism,
right.
and they've got invention and all the rest of that. And here, you basically just have one slot that they're giving, I believe. Is that correct?
No. They've got, I think they said 15 slots they're giving out.
Oh, then good.
That's
good.
Right. So you don't have the place to get a slot, because they realize that, obviously, a piece of mentalism isn't going to compete well against a manipulation act.
Exactly. And
so even though you might not be in the finals or anything like that, they might go, yes, but you have qualified for the mentalism category.
Okay, good. I was not aware of that. I was afraid it was going to be one or none.
No, it was because they actually had three committees of judging. They had the FISM committee, the IBM committee, and the SAM committee. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit confusing for people, I think. And even the Germans who were here were kind of surprised that being this the qualifier for FISM, that they didn't have, you know, standard broke-up categories, because apparently they do that in Europe.
Hmm. Yeah, well, this has been a little bit different. I know that they have the different ones because I'm a judge for the Sage contest, actually, for the IBM. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking with Eric, and he's going to be for the SAM, one of the finalists, judging in the finals for the close-up contest, you know. And who was? Someone was just telling me that this, I guess Sean Farquhar was telling me about how that you can actually win what? Like up to $5,000. I guess you get $2,500.
Yes, I mean, if you win an IBM one and the SAM one and then win some of the other things, you could do quite
there's
well.
There's some major money that's kind of at stake over here. So that's why we have, you know, high-quality professionals like yourself and some others, you know, who are here as well as some other guys who are kind of professional contest winners.
You definitely saw in the competition here there was people who have been doing this for a long time. You did see a few of the young guys who have been working on Interactive the last couple of years, but you saw a lot of the older crowd here as well trying for their, you know. I think this is just something new. This is the first time they've really concentrated on making this a FISM qualifier.
And it's kind of had a feel for me of a FISM from the standpoint of there being so many contests. Well, I should say maybe it's the same contest. It's just kind of, you know,
all
broken
together,
up,
right?
In a few days. But then also of the, you know, foreigners who are here, and I say foreigners who are not Texans.
Okay.
Outside the U.S. I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, foreign-speaking people I see in the elevators and escalators and in the dealer's room and everybody, you know, from the Orient, as, you know, as well as Germans, French, and everybody speaking different languages.
Because I think what you said, there's a lot of money in this contest.
Sure.
A lot of people are flying all over the world to come and compete.
Exactly.
Which makes this even a more exciting kind of convention, because you're saying.
Yeah.
As I told one person, I said, some of the best stuff you're seeing is in the competition.
That's
true. You're going there and you're saying, wow, look at that act. Look at that act.
Yeah. And some of the lectures have been on almost in competition with the competition. So it's kind of hard to say, I want to go hear this lecture over here, but I really want to see this, because if he or she doesn't make this to the finals, I may not see this act again. Although, in my opinion, this may be just a great act.
Yes.
And you know what I always feel is, in watching any performer, good, bad, indifferent contests or performers in the evening show, is you might get something out of it. You might get a piece saying, ooh, I like that idea. I can do something with that.
That's right.
You know, or a trick that you might see that it's like, you know, if I revise this a little bit, or a line or two that you can build on or something.
Right.
So, you know, you can always learn something from anybody.
That's right. And, you know, when you come here, I mean, one of the things Catalina and I like doing is we're just sitting with other performers and sharing ideas and concepts, and you walk away with that kind of stuff, and it's great.
Sure.
When you have that many professional-level people here, that's what you really want to enjoy.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people who don't attend conventions are really missing. I think that it's important that we have, I mean, you and I have been friends for a long time, and, you know, being able to see friends that you don't get to see except usually at conventions, you know. And also, not just the camaraderie, but then also getting to ask questions of people that you might see in the contest, you know, or to see some things that you wouldn't get to normally see unless you spend hundreds of hours just sitting around watching YouTube all day long.
And you're not even going to get that, because when you see it live, everything changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to see someone on YouTube video and go, oh, that was neat. But then when you see it live, you start going, wow, that looks even more impossible, or it looks something, you know, there's that flavor you'll never get from sitting and looking at YouTube.
That's right. I've always been a strong proponent of live theater, you know, that you should encourage people to go see musicals, to see plays, you know, to see live, you know, magicians, whatever kind of entertainment, you know, live music at concerts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you can sit home and you can listen to music, and that's fine. However, that there's something about the experience of it.
And this, you know? And what we do is theater. I mean, we have to interact with people, and when you just sit in front of a YouTube, you're not helping yourself in that. I'm not saying you can't learn off YouTube, but you have to go beyond that, and you have to get out here. And I think, especially, even maybe not this convention, but this particular convention, but I always encourage young people, because they'll ask me, well, you know, how do I do this? You need to get in front of people. And I said, the best place to do it is in these competitions. It's whatever competition is, whatever level, whether it's, you know, a local, more local or regional competition. But you start learning the basics of performing, you know, getting in front of an audience, being nervous.
So important.
Yeah. You've got, look, you only got 8 minutes. How are you going
to learn to be good by being bad?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And this is a place you can be bad.
Yeah.
And people are willing to help you.
It's exactly right. They're not going to say, ooh, bad, you know, and then talk about behind your back. But, you know, if you're trying to do a paid show, you can't be bad.
No, no one's going to say, you know, you could do it. You know what would help you? They're not doing that. No.
Here's where
you come and do that.
That's right, because you have people who have been there, done that, you know, and you may think that you have a new idea or invented, say, no, well, actually, you know, that was so-and-so's idea, you know,
that's
from way back when, and, you know, you've got a different improvement on that, perhaps, and you can tweak it.
That's right.
You know, one of the performers last evening, yesterday afternoon in the contest, who had done so well, immediately there was a gentleman who went backstage and was talking with one of the performers saying, hey, I can help you, you know, with this. There were a few things that, you know, could have gone better, and I have some suggestions, and I can take you to another level.
Right.
You know, and I can mentor you, I can help, you know, to provide you with some opportunity, because you've got potential. I can see something there that will take you to Vegas, or, you know, make your wildest dreams come true, and I can assist you, you know, and so people can go and...
Or sometimes some of the other judges will say, they'll say, hey, you know what, your act was great, but, you know, you need somebody to help you. And now they'll recommend somebody. They'll say, hey, go see this guy or go see that magician over there. See if they'll work with you on this, because I think you could move this up to another notch.
Yeah.
And as long as the performers can put their ego aside and go, great, let's get better. And that's the key. You have to realize you can get better. And sometimes you take your own act so far. And even me as a professional, there are times Kat and I work on acts and we go, we're here. I can't seem to get this piece just isn't. So what happens? I start calling my trusted friends and say, hey, guys, help me out. I'm trying to figure out. And that's what happens. And maybe if the young kids knew that, they'd be more apt to accept help when they need it. But, yeah, even the pros. Even
you have to be open to that. You know, along that line, that Alex Ramone had presented a new illusion that he and Jim Steinmeier put together. And that was the first time Jim had ever seen this live before an audience as well. Mm-hmm. And the first time that Alex had presented this illusion, it was a floating illusion, basically done supposedly to the beat of the music, you know. But afterwards, I had chatted with him on the podcast the other day, and afterwards he said, after this is over, I'd like you know, to have your feedback. And so he was soliciting other people's feedback, too.
He definitely was.
And he was open and honest. You know, I gave him some ideas and things, and it's like, you know, he was completely focused. You know, he was just looking at me and saying, okay, what is, and listening. You know, I mean, you have to process some ideas. Right. You hear a good, bad, and different. Yeah. As you know, you hear comments all the time from people. But you have to decide, is this right, or you know, how much validity can I give to this idea that people are giving?
That's right.
You must get, you know, those kinds of not questions, but suggestions, you know, from time to time. People say, you know, what you could do is if you wear a red jacket instead of a blue jacket or whatever.
Yeah, well, it does happen. And you know what it is you will, of course, sometimes it comes unsolicited and it'll come from people who mean well, but they really don't understand theater. And you're polite, you're nice.
Sure.
And sometimes you get it from people, Eugene Berger once said, one of the best lines he ever got was just from somebody in the audience who after the show said, you know, it'd be a good line for you, this.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic line.
Yeah.
Same with us. Sometimes even in our shows, people after the show go, oh, I really liked your show. Here's a line for you. Here's an idea for you. Because they're looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you're like, well, that's pretty. Let me write that down. Because I don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
But everyone has a different perspective, and that's what makes a great act. You can't make a great act from only your perspective. You have to get other people to help look at it and give you ideas.
I think you have to have an open mind also. You know,
that's the problem.
I do know some magicians who feel like, well, you know, this is as good as it's going to get, and, you know, I'm not going to accept any outside help. This is all me, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then they want to blame everyone else.
My
act is great. They don't get it.
When they're not getting the work that they think they should be getting. And there's some people who have some levels of success, but they can't take it to the next level because they can't take suggestions.
And let's look at
direction.
Yes, and let's look. All these people are on AGT, America's Got Talent, all that. If the public knew, or the magic community knew, none of these guys are going on their own. As soon as they get there, they start getting help from all kinds of other magicians.
I'm sure they do.
Nobody is on AGT just by themselves going, I'm going to make up all my own stuff now.
Well, look at Diddleman. You know, I mean, after he was on there a time or two, it's like, you know, he started asking, and some different people gave him some ideas. And,
that's right.
And he was looking for some things.
That's
and
right.
Took him pretty far on that.
Absolutely.
You know?
You're not just going to go, and it's just too hard. You know, it's too hard. I mean, I look at what Kat and I have done sometimes, and I go, is there anything that's just 100% ours? No one else ever helped us with this at all, and I don't think there is. There's always, you know, somebody helps you with some perspective, something that helps you move another step.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of AGT, have you ever thought about trying to get on to that show?
That's a whole other long story for another aspect. But in the short story, yeah, we did look at it. We spent about 2 hours with one of the producers.
Really? So you went that far?
We did. Wow. We went very far. And in the end, what happened was, of course, because we're more mentalists.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, I can't a minute and a half. I can't do anything in a minute and a half. I don't even want to try that.
Well, not for you and Kat. I mean, you know, the Dittleman did, you know.
I know, and it's very funny you said it, because I said, I can't even comprehend how I could do something in a minute and a half. Then we saw Dittleman, and we're like, wow, he figured it. And I got a chance to see him and meet him, and I actually spent about 3 hours with Dittleman in a hotel bar once. And I told him, I said, dude, you did what I thought was impossible, and you shoved mentalism in a minute and a half. And he was very nice. Dittleman, I will tell you, was a super nice guy. I had a great conversation with him.
Yep.
And he was very very nice to receive the accolades I was giving him, and he was very humble, but, you know, it was great. But that was my concept, is I just couldn't even think, how can you do
it? So that's what you told the producers.
I told him, I said, I can't do anything in a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and sometimes you got to be smart when to walk away.
Yeah, you don't want to look silly. You know, there
were
a couple people on here recently that these two ladies say, well, we're psychics. What was it? They were like, well, tell us our future. Well, there was, I don't know, did you see this? It was like a couple weeks ago.
One.
It was the silliest thing. And of course, they got buzzed off, you know, right away. But it was.
You have to know sometimes when to walk away from a gig.
Yeah.
This is not going to help you.
Yeah.
And for us, that was it. We're like, and, you know, we were just going, again, you go in different directions. Could we have sat down maybe and spent 6 months coming up? Yeah, but at what cost? You have other buyers.
Yeah. And you have to know why you are wanting to be on there.
That's right.
That is a means to an end. That is not an end.
That's right.
Necessarily. I mean, you're not looking at the $1 million prize. And
that's right. You've got to be realistic, you don't think you're going
to
win it.
I know Kevin James is saying, I want to put butts in the seats. He was working the Greek Isles way back.
That's right.
He wants them to have people come in. It's just like, okay, I got a name now.
Right. So, at least I have some recognition. So you have to take that into account. And for Kat and I, we just decided this isn't really going to help us, you know, put that much time into it.
Yep, exactly. What's new? Or what's happening? Just real quickly, just to finish up what's on the horizon here for Christian and Catalina.
Right now, we had a very busy year. We had a lot of just corporate things that were going on. But now we're kind of relaxed. After this competition, we get to relax a little bit.
Yep.
And we just continue our show at the Hilton, which we've been doing now
in
for 4 years.
In Indianapolis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if people want to go,
it's every Friday and Saturday night in Indianapolis at the Hilton. And it's been running. Yeah, we're on 4 years now. So it's nice. We don't have to tour nearly as much.
And for people who want to get more information, the URL.
Then just go to mindtrippingshow.com.
Mindtrippingshow.com.
Yep.
Very good. And I may or may not have asked you this before, because I know we've chatted on the podcast, but if I ask you what your magic word is, or do you remember
I don't think I ever asked you, because
my podcast is called The Magic Word, and so I'd like to know what is your, not necessarily, wouldn't have to be like abracadabra kind of a thing, but, you know, what is your philosophy of life? What is your slogan? What is your chi? What is important to you?
I think if you're to ask, actually Kat and I have talked about this before, and that is, you know, have fun. Life's too short. If you're not having fun, what is the point?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can collect all the gold you want and work your butt off. But if you're like, you know, I'm 60 and I'm rich, did you have fun for 60 years?
Yeah.
No? Then what's the point? Oh, but my last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have fun all along the way and enjoy it. And if you're not having fun, you need to reevaluate and find out, well, if I'm not having fun, let's change it and find a way to have fun.
Find a different direction.
Right. Now, I'm not going to say you're not going to ever have hard times and you're going to have to struggle. But there, in those struggles, you need to find the fun. You need to have that attitude of just enjoying it.
Right.
Because people, your audience knows when you're having fun or not.
Of course they can pick up on that.
That's right.
Yeah. So. That's right. Very good. That was Christian Painter for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're here at the cocktail reception before the evening banquet, and I'm here with former national president, Mr. Mark Whitehouse. Hi there, Mark.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely wonderful. It's really good to see you. You look so dapper this evening.
Oh, thank you. You too. You too.
I like these events because we actually get to dress up a little bit, you know, and do something special rather than just wearing shorts and jeans or whatever all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. They are fun.
Now, does the SAM have banquets every year then as well as part of your membership, rather your registration fee?
We do. We do our installation of officers during the banquet. We have an MC who usually entertains, and we also often have the Milbourne Christopher Awards presented at very end of our banquet.
And how does one go about being selected for that? Is that a presidential appointment? Is it
for the
by
Milbourne
vote?
The Milbourne Christopher Awards actually is not an SAM event. It's got its own foundation.
Oh.
Milbourne Christopher was a longtime publisher of our magazine and a past president of our organization. And through his history and generosity, they've got this foundation, and they really do recognize some of the best in the magic community.
So it's independent from the SAM.
It
basically.
Is. It's always a surprise who the awardees will be, and they will be surprised tonight to see who will be here.
So it's the foundation's committee who actually makes that decision.
That's correct.
And then they tell you who it is.
That's correct.
So they pay for that and everything. So
yep.
It's quite. Who won last year? Do you recall?
Oh boy, I can't say last
previous
year,
recipients.
But previous recipients are included. There'll be a nice video, by the way, that's going to showcase all
great.
Of them. But you name it, they've been anyone that you can think
yep.
of. That's
all celebrated day.
Yeah.
It seems like
yep.
one time or another have gotten it, and it's only presented annually. I mean, it's not like
that's
throughout the year. I mean,
that's correct.
Designated
yep.
this person or that. Okay.
That's correct.
So there probably have only been a handful, just a few dozen, perhaps.
You'll see the video.
Okay.
You'll be amazed at the names that you'll see.
Okay. Okay. Now, I was saying as far as the banquet, I know that, like with the IBM, that we used to have the banquet as part of your registration fee, but because of the increase in prices, we went to where that's going to be an extra fee event.
Yeah.
So that's not something that the SAM has yet done.
Yeah, the SAM, it is. It's an option that you can buy into. And the hotel will charge us. We don't try to make money on the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we try to
just
make it a break-even item. But, you know, for the banquet, we have a nice meal, but it's usually a $70 ticket.
Right.
And that will be that way in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, for the combined convention, we were able to include that with our negotiations with the hotel.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
Now, you've been involved with the planning of this combined convention. Let me ask you, since you were behind like with the registrations and everything, how many people, what's the final tally?
We have at least 1,300 here. It's
1,300
hard to
plus.
Keep. Yes, we've got, it's always difficult. We have had some one-day registrations show up, so we're
yep.
still tallying those numbers. But
okay.
And it seems like it's really a happy bunch. It's really great to get together, to have these events where you can meet your fans, people from other organizations, meet people from the other clubs, and get out, share ideas, longtime friends.
Around the world.
Yeah, and friends. Vinny Grosso's just walked
there's
up
Vinny
here.
Right there. Right there, Vinny.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Past national president as well.
Yeah, and it's just wonderful to have an opportunity to be able to meet with your friends. That's what the convention is really all about.
I agree.
Celebration of membership, getting together with your friends.
And you cannot do that online. This is something that really is just a personal thing.
Mark is assuming that he has some friends here, though. That's
well, he includes his Facebook friends, both of them.
Okay.
You know. Vinny, you are the contest chairman for the SAM, and so now was Paul Critelli was the one before? Is that right, or is that separate from what you?
Yes, Paul was contest chair for
years,
20 years, and
yeah.
he's contest chair again next year. At
okay,
the SAM.
So yeah. he just kind of out this year and then back next year.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, so you're just kind of filling in the gap. So
exactly.
To speak.
Yeah.
And so, how many stage competitors did we have this year?
There were 60 contestants all together.
60
for stage and close up that were the first preliminary round was a FISM contest, FISM North American Championships. But FISM is only awarding spots into FISM for North Americans.
Right.
So the contest included many people that were not from North America that had to go through that round to get to the finals. And the finals are 7 people and that's an SAM contest and an IBM contest. Oscar and Melody Munoz
yes.
are the contest chairs for the IBM, and we're concurrently running that contest.
Right.
And so 7 finalists for stage and 7 finalists for close-up.
On the first night, I was talking with Oscar, and we were trying to clear that up because I know that some people were concerned or didn't understand how that worked. And I was talking with Christian Painter earlier this afternoon, and he said that I guess there will be different categories, so it's not just one person will go forward. It could be, like the FISM, of course, has mentalism and invention and
yes.
illusion.
We had 9 spots for stage for FISM, and depending on how well that you have to score a minimum.
70%.
Exactly. And I believe there's definitely 5. There might have been more than 5
excellent.
that got a slot of North American.
And that'll be announced tonight? Or that,
well, no. The FISM slots are announced on Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow night we have a big event back up here where we're going to make all the awards of the
here in the Majestic
winners, yes.
ballroom where
yeah.
we are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And contracts and yeah. It'll be fun.
Now, what? I guess now again that we're going to be having this in Louisville in 3 years. Is that right? Or where's it going to be? We're going to have a combined convention.
The plan is 2017 will be in Louisville.
In Louisville, which is where they had it last time.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
The same facility.
Yep. Have the same facility because that was so successful and had like 1,900 people or so there. And since FISM is every 3 years, that would be again a FISM Championship North America contest there as well.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, how do you guys enjoy the convention? One last thing, kind of. Any comments or what have you been hearing?
You know, it's everyone enjoys different things.
Sure.
For me, this morning's session with the German troupe giving the critique of they had three different young performers, teenagers, who did 3 to 5 minutes of their act. We had a close-up performer, we had kind of a comedy parlor magician, and we had a classical stage performance. And then they stopped them, gave them some critique. They performed it again with these ideas, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Gaston just did a wonderful job. I thought that was
That's
the highlight
kind of
that I've seen.
Wow.
We just came from a lecture by Stephen Klein, who is our
stage manager,
and he kind of gave it's called the tech sheet. He just kind of gave hints on how to set lights, how to set sound, how to deal with venues, just a variety of things that isn't magical, but as
it's
people
important.
Who are performers, we need to know this. And I had several people come up to me and say, this is the best lecture of the convention.
That's great.
So everyone enjoys.
Steve has just a wealth of knowledge. It was funny, I just talked with him earlier this afternoon, like just a half hour before his lecture, and he said, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about. He said, I'm going to stand there, and obviously it went over great.
He went long, yeah. It was
good. Highlights for you then, Vinny? Anything? You're kind of behind the scenes, of course, and behind the curtain. So,
right. The highlight is discovering my pillow at some point.
I know what that's
each
like.
Day,
kind of,
and it gets later and later each morning, I should say, when I actually go to bed.
Yeah,
but
I hear the weather's gorgeous.
Well, looking through the window, it looks okay.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to go outside and enjoy it.
Yeah. I assume there's some news probably going on in the world too. But we'll figure that out when we get home.
Right.
All right. That was Vinny Grasso and Mark Whitehouse from the IBM and SAM combined convention for the Magic Word. This is Scotty out. I don't think this would be complete without talking with a contestant.
Yeah.
I talked earlier with Christian Painter, who was on the stage, but let's talk with one of the close-up guys, Chris Hannibal. Hey, Hannibal.
Hey, Scott. How you been, man?
I'm absolutely excellent.
Great to see you again.
Now, and you as well. It was great to see you performing today because I thought you did just an excellent job, and I'm glad I'm not going to be one of the judges in the close-up competition because it was pretty stiff today.
I kind of wish you were, really, because we're friends.
And that's right.
I know you're bribeable.
And so. I appreciate that money you slipped me there a while ago.
No
the free drinks, the free martinis.
You got it.
In fact, I'm a judge for the stage contest tonight. I'm not telling anybody yet.
Okay.
But in preparing for this, you've been working on this act for how long?
Wow.
Probably all your life, obviously.
Yeah, all my life,
because it is you
know? Right. But I've searched for my solution to the coins and cylinder for 15 years.
Yeah.
Before I stumbled across the right answer. And then it kind of wrote itself over the course of a year.
Yeah.
And I started performing it. I've been performing it in my show for a little over 2.5 years now.
Now, when you say in your show, I know you do restaurants and everything. Then,
well, not anymore.
No, not anymore.
No, most of what I do these days, I do corporate after-dinner parlor-style shows for smaller groups, and I do motivational programs for sales meetings.
Really? Okay.
And it just works. It just ties it in.
Yeah.
Talking about taking a simple, simple object and making it professional.
Would you mind sharing with everybody kind of what it is and the solution you found for the...
Yeah, absolutely not. Because it's on the DVD, which everybody should own.
Yeah. They can find where?
Which they can find at any dealer. It's distributed through Murphy's.
What's it called?
Hannibal, The Truth from a Liar.
Okay.
Okay, now the plug's out of the way. I love the coin and cylinder, and I love the plot, and I think
the Ramsey coin.
The Ramsey coins and cylinder, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, but it just didn't fit my style. The leather tube and the cork and everything else didn't suit me. I did it, and I performed it privately.
Yeah.
And practiced it, but I never performed it, you know, in my show.
Yeah. You know, John Carney kind of had the ultimate. It's like, okay, well, I can't do it because it can't get any better than what he's done. You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, by accident, I stumbled across the old ice cream push-up tube, which happens to be the exact
Morgan
same
Sherman
size.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same size as a Morgan Silver Dollar. It's the same diameter, and the tube works perfectly on the Ramsey stack.
I can only imagine that aha moment when you're hit.
I almost cried. I mean... It was one of those, I was actually at the grocery store with my kids.
Yeah.
And passed by the ice cream thing, and it was on display, and I went, man, I remember those. I love those as a kid. Took some home, and literally that night, sitting at my table, I looked at the tube, and I looked at the stack, and I went, there's no way in the world that fits perfectly, and it was just right
boom.
There. Boom. Yeah.
Yeah,
literally, boom. And then from that point, it wrote itself.
Yeah, with the magic wand being as part of that little push-up.
Exactly. The push-up stick.
Very clever.
The magic wand. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I can't claim clever on it. It was a gift. It literally just kind of fell in my lap.
Well, it's interesting. I always like to talk to people about their creative muse, if you will.
Sure.
You know,
and
that was something that just happened.
It just happened. But, I mean, like I said, I had been rehearsing the thing for years. I love the
plot. So it was in your subconscious.
Yeah.
If you came across something.
And it just so happened I had the stack sitting on my desk at that time because I'd been rehearsing it earlier in the day.
Uh-huh.
And then I finished up the little ice cream pop and I'm just looking at the tube going, wow, that really looks close.
Yeah.
And boom, like you said, it just worked. So what is it? Creativity is when preparation meets opportunity?
I think you got the quote there right.
Yeah, I don't remember who said it, but...
You just did.
Yes, it was Hannibal. Hannibal said that. So
that's
there
right.
You go.
Well, I think we're getting ready to head back in over here.
Excellent.
So, Hannibal, congratulations
great to
on
see
a great
you, my
job
friend.
Today.
Thank you
good
very
luck
much.
That hopefully you get to move forward. We'll see what the judges say.
We'll see what happens. I had
right.
fun regardless. So.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
That
so
was Hannibal for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're about to start the evening festivities and the dinner, but before we do, I'm here with Joseph
Cursillo.
Is it A. Cursillo?
Joseph Cursillo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just start over?
That's right. And Joey, how's it going? Good to see
it's
you.
It's going wonderful, man. I'm having a great night and feeling good.
It's going to be going a little bit better soon.
I understand that.
We just enjoyed Magic and Martini's Thursday last evening, so you can go back and take a look at a picture of Joey and his lovely wife, Debbie, who are sitting with us there. But tonight is special because they're going to be presenting the Milburn Christopher Award. And a little bit earlier, we were talking with Mark Whitehouse, who was talking about who has taken this in the past and the importance of this. And this is going to be special for you tonight because?
Because it's something I've looked at and thought I never had a shot at.
Yes.
And when I found out I was winning it, I have been shaking ever since, frankly.
And you will be, yeah, no one knows this yet. Now, but of course, by the time that this is broadcast, that everyone will know it. So, but I'm getting a little preview right here.
No, actually, you got the preview because you just so happened you're sitting next to my reserved seat. So,
yeah, it's like, what are you doing here? Okay. Well, and congratulations. This
thank
is
you,
fantastic
Scott.
Because
thank
there's
you.
Only been literally, it seems like, a handful of people over the last, there's only one a year that gets presented.
For medalism, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's other winners of other categories that are all here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I believe it's medalism. They tell me I may be the first one. That makes me the least important.
Wait a
I'm
minute.
Not
the,
sure how that
no,
works. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how that works.
So the medalism award. For the
there's medalism. There's literary. There's a Grand Master award. And there's, I forget the other one.
I see Jim Steinmeier, you know, sitting over here then as well. It looks like he's going to be getting an award.
Yes, I can tell you right now.
And William Rauscher.
It's illusionist, mentalist, close-up, visual magic, masters, literary, and lifetime achievement.
There we go.
So there's all of them.
Yeah. And the fact that you have gotten the Mentalism Award, you know, it's interesting because my wife and I do a two-person mind-reading act. It is from one of Milburn Christopher's books, and he's got such great ideas and was a great magician, too. And so I'm sure it's quite an honor to receive something that has been named after him. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No, unfortunately I did not. Only through his work.
Only what?
Only through his works.
only through his works. Okay. I just knew that since you were from the Philadelphia area and it was out that way, that he was not that much older than us, you know.
Right. I was not into the organized magic community until later, so.
Yeah. So that's fantastic, and that so glad. Because I know this is something that is not awarded by the SAM. It's actually the Milburn Christopher Foundation that selects the people.
Yes, it is. It's an exciting feeling. I am freaked out by it, but...
You don't have many words. I was going to say,
no,
as an attorney, you're not for a loss for words. But.
When they told me about it, I actually couldn't speak for a few seconds, and I'm feeling that again as I'm sitting here.
Yeah, you haven't taken your seat yet, I see.
No, I haven't.
I know. This is, well, congratulations. I'm so excited for you, my friend.
Thanks, Scott.
Great.
Thanks, man. You're awesome.
That's Joey the Sea, who has died. No, yeah, the Joey the Sea from the
we got rid of the. It's now just Joey.
Yeah, just Joey. Thanks a lot, Joey.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Thanks.
For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out.
After dinner at the banquet, Jessica Reed acted as auctioneer for a piece of memorabilia donated by Joni Spina. There was a picture of her and David Copperfield and signed by Joni. It was an auction that provided for all the proceeds to go towards her hospital fund. After the auction, there was a short video that was shown, and if you go to the podcast at themagicwordpodcast.com, you can see a link to the video there, which shows several of the recipients who have been honored with the Melbourne Christopher Award in the past.
Her and David Copperfield together. It is framed, and we're going to be selling it tonight. And the inscription on it says, "To the IBM SAM Combined Convention 2014, thank you for sharing your love of magic and support through the years. Love and peace, Joni Spina and David Copperfield." So if we could have the house lights up, it'd be a little bit easier for me to see the bids. And I do apologize if I stutter a little bit. I just received my auctioneer's license in April, so I am a licensed auctioneer now. Chris, and I believe Bill has a few other people up there to help me out seeing the bids everywhere. So are we in position, everyone? All right, if you are ready to bid, put your hand up high and let us see it. We're going to start the bidding at $100. All right, how about $500 for the picture? Five, now $700, $900, $1,000 for the picture. $1,000, here we give $1,000, now $1,100. $1,100, here we give $1,100, here we give $1,100. $1,100 on the picture, $1,100, now $1,200. $1,200 for the picture, the signed poster here. We've got $1,100, now $1,200. $1,200, here we give $1,200, anybody $1,200. $1,200. For the poster, $1,100, now $12. $12, now $13. $13, we have $1,200, now when you get $13. $12, here you get $13. $1,200, now when you get $13. $1,500, thank you, now $1,600. $1,500, here when you get $1,600, and we get $1,600. $1,500, over here, now when you get $1,600. $15, here, now when you get $16. Now $17. $1,700. $1,600, now when you get $17. $16, now when you get $17. $1,700, now $18, now $19, $1,900, $18 here to give $19, now $2,000, $2,000, and $19 here to give $2,000, $19 over here, now $2,000, anybody in here, $1,900, now $2,000, thank you, now $2,100, now $2,400. Sold, $2,300.
was Jessica Reed, by the way, who is the auctioneer. One of the Reed sisters who also was in the competition earlier this week.
All right, the bidder, the winner of this picture is Dina Murray. Let's give her a great round of applause.
Congratulations, fantastic. And what a job. That was great. I don't know.
All right, we do have an option for the backup bidder. We have another picture. It is not framed, but it is the same picture and autographed. Would you like that for the same amount?
You go to Walmart.
I'll ask that after our next and last function, if Mark Whitehaus would take care of this and see that it's handled at when we're through with our final function. You're fantastic. You did a great job. Our auctioneer.
Jessica Reed, ladies and gentlemen. Jessica, thank you.
Now, I'd like to ask Bill Rauscher to come forward to take care of the presentations of the Milburn Christopher Foundation Awards. This is the last function of this evening's on this evening's agenda. And I will say that we will hold our photographs on the Christopher Awards until after all the awards are given, and then they'll be available for group and separate photos later. But we do need to move things along. And so it's my pleasure to bring back Bill Rauscher.
Thank you, David. I hope you can hear me. I'd like to feel that you are able to hear every word I say. Okay, I don't want too much backlash on this. Well, I begin by saying this. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As chairman of the Christopher Foundation Awards, I want you to know that it's a privilege to be here with all of you. The actual chairman of the foundation itself is Santos Molina, who is here with his wife Lorraine, along with a few of our judges and their wives, including Ray Goulet and Ann, Mike Miller and his wife Linda, Tom Ewing and his wife Debbie. Unfortunately, Tony Clark cannot be with us. The Christopher Awards, and this is important, are universal in approach, and those considered have been from all magic organizations and also from overseas. It has never been limited to winners who belong only to the SAM, but to everyone. And it was set up that way. So before we begin our awards, I want to introduce Tom Ewing, who incidentally is the SAM historian, to give you a bit of overview. And Tom also has something interesting to show you. So if you could be a little bit more subdued.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Milburn Christopher Foundation, we're all very pleased you're here for our banquet or to present the awards. Last year, during the presentations, I put together a little video which was just a sampling of some of the famous illusionist magicians, literary artists, and others who have received the Milburn Christopher Award in the past. And since this is both a combined IBM and SAM convention, I thought it might be nice for you to see a very brief video of all the winners, both past and present, many of whom are here in the banquet tonight, both IBM, SAM, and some who belong to neither organization. They just advanced the history of art. So if you would please enjoy this little video of past Christopher Award winners.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first award is the Illusionist Award. The young man selected for this award has made quite a name for himself. thousands upon thousands in the USA know him as the magical Zing Master for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. He is the first magician to ever be the star of the greatest show on earth, performing for upwards to 10,000 people at each show. He also toured the globe as the star of Disney Live in Mickey's Magic Show. He performed on 4 continents in 14 countries, plus TV and all else. The World Magic Seminar in Vegas named him National Stage Magic Champion. At 18, he received the coveted Lance Burton Award. He headlined his own full magic and illusion show called Illusion Fusion at the Horizon Casino Resort in South Lake Tahoe, Nevada. And interested in magic since age 13, he is a credit to the profession. The award goes to Alex Ramon.
Yay!
Thank you very much. It's an extreme honor to receive this award. When they told me that they wanted to present it to me, I was speechless and just very, very thankful. I do want to thank a few people who have been very influential in my career thus far. And first and foremost, my family, who always were supportive of me wanting to become a magician. And I love them very much, and I'm thankful for having family so supportive, and also someone who probably is the most influential person in my magic career, which is Mr. Jim Steinmeier. He created and designed so many illusions that all of us know and love. And if any of you saw my show, or you guys saw the show the other night that I performed, each and every single one of them was a collaboration with him. So the credit goes to Jim Steinmeier, also my best friend Jay Alexander, and Steve Daly, who was this very influential part of my career that gave me my first opportunities, and of course Mr. Tony Clark, who's not here tonight, but I owe a lot to him as well. So thank you very much. I'm very honored, and just thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our second award is the Mentalist Award. This award goes to a very interesting, talented, creative gentleman. He is not only a superb mentalist, but also a criminal defense lawyer, so you better watch your thoughts if you testify in front of him. His unique presentations involves not only comedy, but the ability to entertain and mystify. As a public speaker, he teaches the art of persuasive speech. He's performed for over 30 years in all types of venues, from Vegas to casinos, to New York corporate offices of Caribbean resorts, and to what he calls cheap motels in Des Moines. He says his favorite place to perform is in your mind, in your head. He's been a member of the IBM since 1988 and the SAM for 13 years. He's served on the board of directors of the Psychic Entertainers and also as its president. He is here with his wife, Debbie. The award goes to Joseph Persilo.
I'd just like to say thank you to the members of the foundation, and I'm hesitating because I'm afraid this is where Mike Miller tells me I'm actually being punked. I just want to say there's a couple people I need to thank, and first of all, I want to thank Milburn Christopher, because many years ago, I wanted to get into mentalism, and the only book I could afford was One Man Mental Magic, and that started what I think is one enjoyable career. And then I got other books because thanks to Mark D'Souza, I stole them from his library. And another friend, Beth Shelligo, who once told me I should become a mentalist. What I still hear in my head is, Joe, you suck as a magician. And then I need to thank certain people who have been inspirational and helpful to me. Number one is my brother by choice, John Stetson. Thank you, John. I'd like to thank my inspiration and dear friend, Uri Geller. I'd also like to thank Guy Bovley, Mark Salem, Anthony Blake from Spain. And I think I need to say that the guinea pigs that I try everything on, my wife, Deb, and my daughters, Olivia and Kayla, thank you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the third award is a close-up award. Now, close-up magic is more prominent than ever. To be skilled in close-up, one must, as they say, practice, practice, practice. And Spain has given the world some wonderful close-up workers. There is one among many who stands out tall in this unique field. He was born in Malaga in a town called Estepona. I hope my pronunciation is correct. He was 4 years old when he received a box of tricks. Little did he realize he would become a great card worker. At age 12, he visited the Magic Circle in Seville and saw Mario the Magician. Mario would become his mentor. Other magicians would influence his budding career. He has been called unconventional and improvisational while creating what are considered dynamic routines. It is this approach that makes him unique and very different. He's authored 4 books on magic, edited 3 DVDs, edits a magazine. The award goes to Danny De Artes.
I don't speak English, then I only say a little thing is the magic is not only technique. The magic is friendship and passions. If you mix two different things, you only have a very good moment like that. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Now, this is interesting, ladies and gentlemen. This is sort of a special award. It's award number 4, which the committee felt was very much deserved. We're all familiar, of course, with the background and history of La Grande David, a show that will be remembered. Now, there's one person in that company, which I sort of consider a shadow person in a way, who created a kaleidoscope of color in decorating props, walls, floors, scenery, backdrops, posters, over 100 posters alone, portraits, masks, and all else for some 35 years. And whatever you saw there, if you went, was very much the result of the paintbrush of our selected winner for this special award. He could really, I call him the Michelangelo of magic, or perhaps the magic artist, or as he thinks of himself, the magician with the paintbrush. Although he credits Cesario Pelaez with inspiration, it was the painter who made it come to life in vivid designs and colors to dazzle you from the time you saw it on the stage and wherever you happened to look. Yes, he appeared in the show, but his life, those 35 or more years, was really the artist. His body of work is staggering. Now in his Salem, Massachusetts studio, he is commissioned by magicians to decorate their props. He's making props, build props, paint portraits for people, and in general is and always will be the artist. This award goes to Rick Heath.
Thank you. My thanks to the Milgaard Christopher Foundation and to the awards committee for this recognition, which was truly unexpected and truly appreciated. And my thanks so often goes to Cesario Pelayo's Marco the Magi, who founded Le Grand David and his own spectacular magic company 35 years ago. And for those 35 years, my goal was to work at creating the most beautiful visual magic spectacle that was possible, and never, ever to accept anything that wasn't creatively possible, to always strive for the best in creativity. And that's what I would urge everyone here who's a magician to do. So thank you so much to the committee, to the foundation, and this is truly appreciated. Thank you.
Now, our fifth award is the Master's Award. A Master's Award, no matter where it comes from, implies that the recipient is very much in command of the entire field of magic, not only as a performer, but also the history of the subject, and his knowledge and skill beyond most. That very much fits the gentleman who will receive this award tonight. A London reviewer said of him, "He doesn't just do magic. He is magic. He's traveled the world. He's opened doors for magic in such places as the People's Republic of Korea, served as entertainment director at the Magic Castle, producer of shows for the IBM convention, a judge for magic competitions in over 30 countries, a writer on the history, theory, and practice of magic, international relations officer for the IBM, member of the SAM Hall of Fame, and already has over 10 awards. Now, he started when he was 5 years old meeting a magician, Mr. White. And his father gave him a book. And the name of the book was G.S. Ripley's Magic for Boys. And slowly he grew to be the impeccable performer he is today. He's appeared everywhere, on TV, in Matlock, Hollywood Squares, To Tell the Truth, and so much more. His magic world is the entire spectrum of show business. His appearance data sheet is lengthy, to say the least. Many of you know him as the director of the Chavez Studio of Magic since 1978. And he's a consummate and well-educated performer with a BA degree in English and a minor in science and math at Purdue University, an MA and PhD in English literature from the University of Southern California. He's here tonight, and his son Ryan is with him tonight. So the award goes to a true gentleman of magic, Dale Sye.
Thank you very much. I can't express how profound this moment is for me. I think back to 62 years ago when I was a five-year-old boy at a birthday party, and I saw a magician by the name of Mr. White, as Bill had mentioned, and I remember those magic tricks to this day. That morning, that magic show transformed my life. While the rest of the children ran to the punch bowl and the cakes, I hung around the magician. And I've always remembered that and always insisted on my students that they remember that whenever they're performing, to give 100%, because you never know who's sitting in the audience. Along with Mr. White, I have to acknowledge the influence of Marian Chavez in my life. She transformed my life in so many ways. She became a good friend. She became my instructor for many years. And then the one and only Neil Foster. He and his wife Jean, as you know, never had children. But they adopted a number of magicians, including myself, and called them their foster children. And Neil first saw me perform in 1964, and then 13 years later, he wrote me a letter and said, "Dale, I think I can help you now." In other words, he was the ideal teacher. He let me grow as far as I could grow as a performer. And then when I could go no further, he offered to help me. Magic has taken me around the world, including a few remote places that few Americans have been to. Magic does indeed build bridges, and I'm grateful for the thousands of friends I've had and have, and the opportunities I've had, and most of all, grateful to have this award and its association with Milbourne Christopher, who is one of my magical heroes. Thank you. This is a tremendously meaningful moment for me, and I thank you for this and for this honor.
Well, we have two awards left. This is the literary award now that we will approach, and we all know this next man. In respect to his staggering accomplishments regarding his genius at creating illusions. His resume is very incredible, and if you were to attend the current Broadway musical Aladdin, The Flying Carpet surely has his name on it. In 1996, he had received the Christopher Award, which was for illusion creator. But this is a literary award. And there's another side to him, and that's the literary, a marvelous literary side. His writings on the technological aspects of magic and his books on great magicians have earned him a further place in magic history, not to mention mainstream publishing. It's too long to list. So his books, his essays, his articles are endless. Hiding the Elephant, Charles Fort, The Last Greatest Magician, and it goes on and on. Most of us know him from the Los Angeles Magic Conference or for producing the 1997 four-hour TV special, The Story of Magic, and for designing illusions for master magicians. He was born in 1958. And he was raised just outside Chicago. He graduated in 1980 from Loyola University with a major in communications. He's a master communicator and a man with a magical theatrical mind. The New York Times called him the celebrated invisible man, inventor, designer, and creative brain beyond many of the great stage magicians of the last quarter century. So he credits wonders on stage, creates wonders on stage. And in the printed word, he emerges as one of the most prominent and admired men in magic and is known around the world. So let's give a show of appreciation to our literary winner, Jim Steinmeier.
This is really an honor, and I am appreciative to Santos and to Bill and to Ray and everyone associated with the Christopher Foundation and everyone associated with the IBM and SAM. I would say, besides this amazing honor and the list of current recipients, which is an honor to be sharing the stage with them tonight, it occurs to me that Bill would say it better: to everything there is a time and a season under heaven. And the time has passed. I'm probably one of the last people that you're going to meet as a Christopher Award winner who was a friend of Milbourne Christopher's. I wouldn't say I was a close friend, but I met with him probably 10 or 12 times. I spent time with him at his house, and he died when I was in my 20s. So I remember him fondly and remember his inspirations fondly. And it's interesting the way time passes. Alex mentioned that I had worked with him, and I've had the honor of working with Alex. Alex was born several years after Milbourne Christopher died, and he is the youngest recipient that we have here tonight. So everything passes, everything continues, and it's an honor to be part of this tradition that is continuing on to new and important generations. Thank you all very much, and congratulations to all the winners tonight. It's an honor to be talking. Thank you.
Our last award is the Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, this concerns the career of a legendary traveling magician and showman. He was born in Portland, Oregon, in 1925, learned his first trick at 10 years old, and skipped school to see professionals in the downtown theaters. In his prime, he crisscrossed the country performing in cities twice a day, 200 times a year, in big city auditoriums, small town theaters, high school gyms, everywhere. He would arrive in a big Cadillac to make an impression, and leading the way, followed by a 53-foot semi-truck, animal truck, and a sound truck along with his cast. In his show, he did classical magic with props and illusions galore, backdrops, lighting, and gave a magic show in the grand tradition. He knew everybody, lived magic to the hilt, and loved every minute of it. He once said, "I just can't get it out of my blood." The 90-minute illusion show went on, whether it was 15 people in some gym in Wyoming or 20,000 in District of Columbia. Our man traveled with his family. His son Rick managed the show. Incidentally, you might be able to know that David Charvet got his start some 35 years ago with this magician as an assistant in the traveling shows. So our award recognizes more than 70 years in nearly every entertainment venue, vaudeville nightclubs, USO circuses, casinos, cruise ships, you name it, television, and of course the full evening production. Walter Winchell dubbed him the Madman of Magic. The person I'm talking about is Stan Kramin. Or, I should say, the great Kramin. His words echo his inner self. He said, "It was my life. My God, it was my life." And because of his age, he's 90, and his illness, of course he cannot be with us this evening. But his award will be properly presented to him by his dear friend, David Charvet. So, Stan, we send you our love and best wishes. Stan Kramin. This concludes our awards, and I'll turn it back to your person of the evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to be here with you, enjoy this great convention, and enjoy our banquet tonight. I have one announcement, and then I'll ask Don to wrap it up for us. The past national presidents of the SAM should meet out by the ice sculpture, if it's still there, because we will we'll take a group photo of the past national presidents. Don, it's been a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, David. You know, I want to acknowledge just a couple of people, and I want you to give them a collective round of applause. The entire convention committee, Steve Klein and his tech crew, the servers who delivered this wonderful meal, the bartenders, the cooks, the chefs, the banquet chairman for the IBM was Christy Henson Bodenall. She's here somewhere. When you see her, give her a little pat. But David, we've got to do this again sometime.
I agree. Yes. I agree.
And I'd like to prepare or propose a simple little toast. This is a very special IBM cup, I might add. And the toast really kind of symbolizes the unity between the IBM and the SAM. But David, this cup is special. And you must never drink from this side of the cup. Never.
Why? I don't understand. Why not?
Well, David, when you drink from this side of the cup...
Serves you right.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the theater.
think we got it now, Rory.
Enjoy the rest of the convention. It's great to have you all here. You're all my new best friend. See you later.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the evening show, and I'm here then with Bill Gleason. Hi there, Bill. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, sir. And what did you think of the show this evening, by the way?
It was great shows tonight. A lot of fun.
Who'd you score high? Who'd you like? Do you remember?
I'm not saying.
Well, you weren't a judge. Who cares?
I like the act with the clock.
With the clock.
Reversing time.
Oh, yeah. The guy had the video camera that, I forgot what his name was. I can't pronounce it, then anyhow. I thought he was good. I'm a judge, so I really can't say myself, but you can because you were in the audience. Yeah, that was a good act as well. All of them were. That's why they were finalists and got in here. We had, seven acts, I think, finalists over here. But I wanted to talk with you, about the Heroes Award that the SAM presents. Tell me something about the award.
Well, I'll first give you the background.
Yeah.
I'm a retired FDNY EMS lieutenant. I'm a first responder. I was down there on 9/11. I drove a gator from Elmhurst Hospital to the site. I arrived in the evening. I'm considered an FDNY rescuer. That means I was there from the collapse of Tower 1 until the last victim was rescued. And I have lung disease from the World Trade Center.
Hmm.
In 2002, I got to speak for the moment of silence at the SAM convention. And afterwards, I learned more about the gentleman that we honored that day, which is John Eichler. He was a magician from Cedar Grove, New Jersey. He was one of those people that would give you the shirt off his back.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he was lost in Windows on the World in Tower 1 when the tower collapsed.
He was not one of the rescue. He was actually just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He went in for meeting an investment counselor for a breakfast at Windows on the World, which is a great restaurant.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he became a hero in our eyes.
By virtue of his death, yeah.
You know, and what happened is we tried to find a way to remember and honor him. And the first ways of putting a plaque up and scholarship were actually cost prohibitive when you get into the better details of it.
Yeah.
So the fire department has a history and tradition of naming medals after our heroes who were lost in the line of duty.
Yeah.
So I said this would be the perfect fit. So we went on and it became the Heroes and Patriot Award dedicated to John Eichler. And it took 4 years of fighting. And it was all implemented by two emails. I had written a story called the September 11th, The Magician Story, which gave the basic story of John Eichler, and it was put on SAM Talk.
Yeah.
The next morning, I had two emails from people saying, can I get over it? Mm. Well, rescuers are getting sick, myself included. They're dying. I'm watching people I go to Bureau of Health Services with die from lung disease and from all these other cancers we're getting. And the gauntlet was basically thrown down. I got on National Council's back and every other SAM member I could to say, we need to remember John Eichler.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, why? I said, the most important reason, we had a magician who was at the turning point in magic history. Everything you do this day and age is affected by 9/11. And a magician was there and was lost. And he needs to be remembered because his contribution and his sacrifice needs to be remembered just because we are the type of people who remember our past.
Mm-hmm.
And to have someone that was at the turning point that we can say, we all knew. It's a broad expression, but any magician from no matter what end of the world, we all speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a brother to us.
Right.
So we eventually worked in Buffalo. We had the In 2009, they approved the establishment of the medal. We dedicated it in Atlanta, Georgia, at the convention, and we had a nice plaque made. But unfortunately, John's wife had passed away in April of that year. The plaque was taken, and it's now in the Museum Hall of Fame under their care at this time. They decided to get me to shut up. I had literally hounded these people for years to remember someone who I never met in my life.
Yeah.
And they gave me the first award, and I was touched by it.
That wasn't what your intent was, but it was. Yeah.
I went up, and I think my words were, "Thank you very much. I don't have anything to say," and they were all shocked.
Yeah,
but I had been doing patient advocacy since 9/11, being a patient myself, and we have several members of the SAM who were down as rescuers and have had medical problems since. And the National Council recognized me for doing patient advocacy and helping to help others. And that's what the whole idea behind SAM, even IBM, we're one big family, and you got to watch out for each other. After we established the award, George Schindler and several others worked with me. We established the actual medal. Mm-hmm. Has three components: the skyline from the USS New York's coin, the Statue of Liberty from the Liberty Dollar, and the SAM symbol. We are just caretakers of the award because it's open to any magician in the world. The first magician after myself to receive it was Robin Boltman. In 2006, he was killed with enemy action in Iraq. The ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He was not affiliated with any magic group. He had taken magic in a club in his high school in California, and he brought that to the troops and to the local kids. So he was supposed to have been the first, but he wound up being the second recipient. The next recipient was Robin Boltman. I don't know if you remember who Robin Boltman is.
No.
Oceana and your Achille Laurel. He made.
Oh, okay.
He was a magician on board when both ships disappeared.
Okay.
He was directly responsible for saving 571 lives on the Oceana and assisted in the rescue of hundreds off of your Achille Laurel. Mm-hmm. Don't get on a boat with him.
What was the first one's name again?
Salem Bouchard,
and the second one was Boltman. Okay. Yep.
And then we gave it to Tom Werner, who founded Magicians Without Borders.
Yeah. Yep.
Where magicians go into hostile territory.
Well,
you're in a country where a magician is considered to be evil and is supposed to be shot on sight.
Yeah.
I consider that hostile territory.
Yeah, exactly.
The next recipient was Lion Flood. Lion Flood was not on a combat mission. They were just going into town and got hit by an IED in Afghanistan. So he was our next recipient. And the recipient we approved this year, but we will not be given the award until possibly next convention or if some other event comes up in between, was Tom, and I forgot his last name, sorry, I believe it's Weiland. He was a magician in Florida.
Okay.
Tim is his name. And what's important about him, he's walking his dog. Car goes roaring past him and drives into a lake, which is right on the edge of the Everglades. He turns around, ties his dog up, jumps in, swims out, grabs the guy who's unconscious, pulls him ashore, and then other people came and helped. Waits till the paramedics arrive, and when the paramedics arrive, he tells them what's going on, unties his dog, and walks home.
Yeah. Just another day.
Just another day to him. And the paramedics go, I can't say the exact words to describe his first action, but they said he jumped into a lake that's known to have alligators and venomous snakes in it. And everyone that lives in that neighborhood knows it. And
no
he did it without
safety. Yeah.
Personal safety. So he'll be our next recipient.
Yeah.
And possibly by the next convention we'll have a few others because we've really promoted the award this year and trying to get the word out.
So how does one go about being nominated for this award or for you finding out about it?
We have it on the SAM website.
Yep.
And the best part about it
is MagicSam.com.
MagicSam.com. And the best part, it's under programs, Heroes and Patriot Award, and they fill out the application. A magician fills out the application. Mm-hmm. They send it in to the SAM. The national administrator copies it, sends it to me.
Yep.
I do the homework on vetting it out, verifying the story.
Right.
And then we send it to our committee, which is made up of a magician who's a professional magician. It's also a former police officer. The former firefighter, myself, and our newest addition to our committee is Lance Burton. His deeply touched and honored to be able to assist us making the decision whether the person is worthy of the award. The way we also handle the award is if someone took the time to write up someone for an act.
Yeah.
And it doesn't meet the criteria for the medal.
Yeah.
We have a commendation certificate that we will give. So if
they get something,
you recognize someone for having helped someone else.
Yeah.
They will get something. They will not just be forgotten.
Okay. That's great. Well, that's fantastic. You know, I don't have really any other questions about that. It's quite interesting, except just to ask you about your magic word. You know, since it's called the Magic Word Podcast. You know, and.
Well,
yours would be
my
your philosophy of life. What's important? I mean, you've said a lot of things. I've got things I could think of that you would say, but I wouldn't want to put words in your mouth.
Live life to the fullest, because you never know when your last hour will be.
That's very true. In the case of all these people you're talking about, you know.
And hopefully, I'm around and I'll bring you back.
That'd be great, because you're an EMS guy.
Yes.
There we go.
I have 28 pre-hospital saves. I've got ice rescues, mm-hmm. and I used to work in Queens primarily for most of my career,
yeah.
and I used to be notorious for shutting down the Long Island Expressway or the Grand Central Parkway during rush hour and changing the course of millions of people's lives.
Right there every day, yeah.
But we had a program in FDNY where we brought magic during EMS week and fire prevention week to the schools.
Yeah.
And that was a great program. I believe that every magician across the country, even around the world, should consider mm-hmm. working with their fire departments to promote fire safety.
Right.
Emergency medical safety. The kids are extremely recipient when a magician performs it to them.
Yeah, sure.
They learn the message much better.
Yeah.
And that I learned personally. Before I got sick, we were going to schools, mm-hmm. and then when I got sick, the program actually ended because their magician was gone.
They were my else to replace you, right?
But, you know, I look that we need to be able to help people.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned from the SAM and even the whole magic communities, we're all one family. And they've been there for me.
Yeah.
I'm now at 60% loss of lung function, mm-hmm. and I'm on a ton of medications. That market value is over $600,000 a year.
Wow.
I've had 27 surgeries. Mm-hmm. 28 surgeries. I just had my knee done 2 months ago, post 9/11.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm still here.
Well, I'm glad you are. Hope to see you year after year. Thank you very much, Bill. Wow. That's Bill Gleason for the Magic Word Podcast here at the Combined Convention. This is Scotty out.
For more content, including pictures of those I spoke with in this podcast, commentary, links, timestamps, show notes, and more, be sure to visit the webpage at themagicwordpodcast.com. And you can help spread the word by liking the Magic Word Podcast on Facebook and sharing with your friends. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening. Till next time, Scotty out.